Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
What a crazy week.
Crazy.
We didn't even know if we were coming or going.
Well, I mean, I did. You probably didn't, but I did.
You knew nothing.
I knew something was happening big time.
Anyway, we're with Jesus, and the whole town just seemed to turn upside down. The feast was in full swing. The Passover was happening, and everybody was talking about Lazarus being raised from the dead.
Oh, tell them about it. I mean, there was tons of miracles that people were talking about.
Who's telling the story?
What? I'm just trying
Who's
to help.
Who's telling the story?
I thought I would just help. Fine, go ahead.
So many miracles surrounding Jesus this Passover.
Plus, on top of that, there was this time where Jesus came into the town on a colt, and everybody was going crazy, throwing down palm branches and all this. And, I mean, it was nuts. I mean, it was amazing. Sorry.
So many miracles, so many people believing that he was actually the king that we were all waiting for. There was even one Pharisee that was overheard saying, this is out of control. It's like the whole world is in a stampede over him.
Stampede? Who says that?
If you keep interrupting, I swear I'm going to get all Elijah on you.
Oh, I'd like to see you try. Not right now. Finish. Just go.
And then there was these Greeks, basically Gentiles, that came up to me and they wanted to see Jesus.
Greeks, more like geeks if you ask me.
What are you saying? I'm Greek.
Nothing. Please tell the story.
I didn't know what to do, so I went to Andrew.
See, I'm not just a pretty face. He needs me.
Yeah, I needed you. I needed you to throw under the bus in case this went terribly wrong. So we went to Jesus, gave him the request, and it was as if Jesus didn't even hear us talking.
Yeah, it was really weird. I mean, it was like we were little kids that didn't understand what was going on, and Jesus was a parent trying to explain it to us, you know? And he said, who's up? Who's up for the Son of Man to be glory-filled?
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
Like, Who's up for the Son of Man to be glory-filled?
That's not the way I said it.
What you meant.
It's not what I...
He didn't say that. He said, it's time. It's time for the Son of Man to be glorified.
It was implied in what I said.
Uh-huh.
You made me lose my place.
Uh-huh. Jesus started talking about this sprout and how it needed to be buried underneath the ground and for it to be reproduced. We all knew what he was talking about. He was talking in code again. He was talking about himself. He was talking about his death. In all honesty, we just didn't get the full picture.
I did. I did. I really... I mean, I didn't understand it completely, right? But I remember because he said, if you try to hold on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you let go of your life, you get eternal life.
Yeah. Do you remember that sound?
Yeah.
I mean, it was God. Yeah. It was God. Some people in the room thought it was thunder. Some people thought it was angels. But it was God. Jesus got through talking, and then God said, it is glorified, and I will glorify it again.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Jesus said, that voice wasn't for me, it was for you. You need to listen.
Yeah. I think the thing that keeps playing back in my mind is when Jesus then said, if you want to serve me, then follow me. What is the value if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? And then he said, take up your cross. He said, take up your cross and follow me.
I forgot about that. I forgot he said that. That he was preparing us. He knew how this whole thing was going to end.
It wasn't the end. It was just the beginning for all of us.
What a crazy week.
What a crazy week.
Open your Bibles this morning to John chapter 1 and John chapter 6. John is the fourth book of the New Testament, and today we're wrapping up our series that's called Encounters with Christ. For the past several weeks, we have been looking at various individuals who have had up close and personal encounters with Jesus and how it has impacted their lives. Now, as you're turning to our text this morning in your Bible or your smartphone, I want to share a story with you that I read earlier this week. It's about a patient who was in a hospital, and he accidentally tipped over a glass of water onto the floor, and he was concerned that when he got out of bed that he might slip and fall on the water that was spilled, so he called the nurse's aide to come and clean it up. Now, little did he know that the hospital had a policy that if there was a small spill, the nurse's aide would take care of it. But if there was a large spill, the housekeeping department was supposed to take care of it. So he calls, and the nurse's aide comes, and she says, "This is a large spill." So she calls the housekeeping department. The housekeeper comes in, and she says, "This is a small spill. It's your job." And they began to banter back and forth. You know, it is not a small spill. It is a large puddle. No, it's not. It's just a little bit of water. And finally, the patient was tired of hearing this. He took the pitcher of water that was on his nightstand, and he pours the whole pitcher on the floor, and he says, "There, is that enough water for you to settle the argument?" And it did. Up until that point, neither one of them wanted to take the responsibility. Neither one wanted to fulfill the task that had been assigned to them. And this morning, as we are wrapping things up, what we want to take a look at is that we have a responsibility. God has issued a responsibility to every single Christ follower in the room, in the state, in the world. If you call yourself a Christian, someone who has accepted Christ, then you and I have a responsibility. That was the encounter that Philip and Andrew ran into. They realized that it did not stop with Jesus. They were to continue on the Savior's mission. If you're taking notes this morning, I'd like to take your bulletin and pull out your sermon notes and discipleship questions. And there at the top, it says, Philip and Andrew encounter a call to action to change the world. They encountered a call to action, not just to sit on the sidelines, not to be a spectator, but to get up and to get into the game, a call to action to change the world. Now, in the video opener, it mentioned that Jesus created a stampede. This is a reference to what John the disciple wrote in his gospel right after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And the Pharisees realized there is nothing we can do to stop this guy. We can't stop Jesus. He raises the dead. And so they knew they were losing their grip. And in verse 19 of John 12, it says, "The Pharisees said among themselves, 'You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him.'" Everyone is flocking towards him. In other words, there is a stampede for Jesus. Jesus came to change the world. That's why he came. He came to reveal the greatness of God to us. We learned about that the first week with John, with Mary, when we looked at Mary's life. Mary was supposed to, she showed us how God was so great when Lazarus was raised from the dead. She encountered God up close and personal. We realized the second week with Simon, Jesus came to die on the cross and suffer for our sins so that we can be cleansed. The third week, we learned how Jesus came to give us a meaningful life as we looked at Salome. We have new life. Jesus was raised from the dead. He's given you and I a new life that is full and meaningful. It's a well-founded faith, and through him we can do anything, and someday we're going to live with him forever in heaven. Are you looking forward to that day? That'll be a great day. Last week, we talked about, with Malchus, how God was approachable. The veil was torn. That was a sign that we can come in into God's presence and that He cares about us. He's compassionate. He loves us. It was so neat to hear last week as people came forward with their prayer needs and put them on the cross. The scriptures they received spoke directly to their circumstances. There's a person that's battling cancer, and the scripture they received was from Jeremiah, "I will restore your health." Someone has lost their job, and the scripture they received is, "You will have a new beginning." Someone shared what I wrote on the card and put on the cross. That was the exact scripture that was given to me. Friends, God is up close and personal, and He wants you to know that He wants to be your friend. But here's the thing. The things we've been talking about the past few weeks have all focused on things God has done for us. A new life, cleansing from sin. He's approachable and personal. But now, as we wrap things up today, what God wants us to realize is all the things that we've received, we're not to keep them to ourselves. But we have a responsibility, a call to action, to go out and to give those things away to others. That's the call you and I have. Jesus came to reveal light to a dark world. Paul wrote about this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 in the Good News Bible. He said, "Through the Son, then, God decided to bring the whole universe back to Himself. God made peace through His Son's blood on the cross, and so brought back to Himself all things, both on earth and on heaven." Did you catch that? God's bringing the universe back to Himself. He's creating a stampede. Yee-haw! God wants there to be a stampede back to Him, a return to Him, a return to life, a return to joy, a return to purpose, a return to cleansing, a return to freedom. That is what the gospel message is all about, and we have that same call that He gave to His disciples. You and I have that same call given to us, a call to change the world. Now, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, okay, you're not a Christ follower, I want you to know we're glad you're here. You're welcome. But you know what? You get a free pass on today's message, okay? You get a free pass. You're exempt because this is what God expects of those who follow Christ. So you can just sit back and enjoy the ride for the next few moments we have together. Now, those of us who are Christ followers, you don't get a free pass. There is no exemption card that you can play. All of us are called to be active participants in the kingdom. Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus in chapter 4, verse 1, "I am a prisoner of the Lord, and I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling." And because we have just a little bit, we say we can't do anything at all. But that is not what Christ sees. It doesn't matter how much we have. We need to give God a chance to use the little bit that we do have. In Matthew is a parallel passage of the feeding of the 5,000, and he tells about the same event, and this is what Matthew says. When it was evening, we're looking at Matthew chapter 14, verse 15. When it was evening, the disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place. The hour is late." Jesus, if you read the backstory, the multitudes came. Jesus was teaching all day long. And now the disciples say, "Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." Notice that Jesus did not allow their limitations to be an excuse for doing nothing. There is no excuse for doing nothing. All of us can do something. Do you have a little bit of time? Use it. Do you have a little bit of money? Use it. When God speaks to you about doing something, they'd say, God, I can't do that. Use the little bit that you have. There is no excuse. When God speaks to you about helping someone, about getting involved in a ministry, about giving to a need, there is no excuse for saying, God, I can't do it. Because with God, He can take a little and He can multiply it so that it feeds thousands of people. Going back to our text, John chapter 6, verse 8, one of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Now, does that stop Jesus? Jesus says, you know what, Andrew? You're completely right. You know what? I'm wrong. Send everybody home. Let's not feed him. No, Jesus says, make him sit down. Make him sit down. It doesn't matter that you only have like 2 fish with sandwiches from McDonald's and an extra piece of bread. Sit everyone down. And so they sit them down, and it says, I love this part, there was much grass in the place. Do you realize that God was orchestrating everything? Not only is God going to feed them, but they get to sit on nice, soft grass instead of hard, rocky ground. I mean, I can picture the landscape there being kind of like Wyoming. You ever tried to go sit down in a field out in Wyoming? I mean, it's not very comfortable, but it just so happens there was much grass, not a few sprigs here and there like we see. But there was much grass. God was taking care even of the little details. You see, you don't have to worry about things. When God tells you to do something, He will work out even the little details of life. It says, there was much grass, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those who were sitting down, and likewise to the fish, as much as they wanted. In other words, they could eat until they were miserable. I mean, it was like an all-you-could-eat fish fry. They pigged out. Everyone was full. No one went away hungry unless they were watching their diet, you know, and they didn't want to. Everyone was filled. And then Jesus said, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Friends, you may feel you can't do much for God. You don't have much talent. You don't have much money. You don't have much time. You don't have much energy because of how busy you are. But friends, everyone can do something when you and I see needs around us and we meet them with the little bit we have. God multiplies it and He can do the supernatural. Don't sell God short. So many times we say, I can't. Well, you know what? He can. Really, when I say I can't, I'm saying I won't. It's not a matter of ability because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a matter of my will. And Jesus is saying to us, He's challenging to us, each of us, meet the needs around us. Be open. The Holy Spirit, He wants to speak things to you. He wants to open your eyes to the needs that are around you. He wants to show you things that can be done, people that need help, people that need prayer, people that need encouragement. You can be used of God. Now, in your notes, I'm going to give you 2 applications of this, 2 ways that we can meet needs around us. The first bullet point there is meet needs in the lives of others. Meet needs in the lives of other people. Does someone need food? Buy them groceries. Does someone need a listening ear? They're going through a tough time. Sit down and let them share. And you say, well, Craig, what happens when they get done sharing? I'm no good at talking. I don't know what to say. I mean, I haven't been to seminary or Bible school. I haven't had training to know how to deal with these circumstances. Don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. He will be your teacher. That's why it's important for you and I to be reading our Bible and studying our Bible on our own, because that way God takes the things that you've studied and He brings them to our remembrance. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 14. The Holy Spirit, your teacher, will bring to remembrance the things you've already learned. And so be a student of the Word. Be pouring into yourself, because as you pour into yourself, God can bring that back at a later date, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years down the road, and just drop those thoughts in your mind and help you to minister to someone. And so help people. Be there when people are going through problems. Maybe someone is sick. Offer to pray for them. Offer to pray for them. It is so neat when you pray for someone and God supernaturally heals them. You say, well, I don't know how to pray a big elaborate prayer. Oh, thou heavenly Father, I pray you comest right now and you healest this person through thy most dynamic power. You don't need to do all that. A simple, faith-filled, love-motivated, Jesus, heal them. That's all it takes. That you care about people. And it's not up to you, but it's believing in God. Can you pray for someone who's sick? How many can do that? Okay? I want you to be ready for this week. Because if you say you can pray for someone who's sick, if you are willing, God may just bring someone who is sick across your path. There is probably at least 100 of you or more that raised your hand. Wouldn't that be cool if next Sunday we came in here and there were 100 people with you because God supernaturally healed them? Wouldn't that be powerful? I am here today. I am a Christian today because a neighbor lady asked my mom if their church could pray for me. I had allergies and they were 30 miles away. And even though they were 30 miles away, the power of God traveled from their prayers and he touched me. God wants his church to raise up in power. Say a prayer. Buy some food. Make a phone call. Do something. Meet the needs that are around you. Every day as we wake up, God is looking for people that he can partner with. May we not be so busy or so inadequate that we say, God, no, and we just push him off and we don't think anything about being used of God to help other people out. You can be used of God. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, you can be used of God. Say this to them, God used a donkey. He can use you. Do you believe that this morning? Some of you need to get on fire. God has given us power. Friends, he's raised from the dead, and that same power that raised him from the dead dwells in you. Church, raise up! God does not want the church to languish. He wants the church to change the world. And it's time we start being the church. We act like we're in defeat when we've got the power of God, the resurrection power of God in us. Go out this week every day and say, God, use me. God, use me. Open a door. I don't know how. But God, I'm trusting that you're going to help me. And so what if you get tongue-tied? So what if you mess up? You know what? How'd you learn to ride a bike? You fell down and you got back up and you fell down. Very few people ride the bike for the very first time. For those of you who do, you're overachievers, and God loves you too, okay? Don't worry if you fail, because failure is only when you do not try. You fail when you don't try. If you mess up, that's not a failure. Now you know what not to do next time, right? It was just an experiment that didn't go quite the way you wanted it. So take a chance, take a risk, and say, Holy Spirit, use me and meet the needs around you. There's a second place to meet needs, and that is in the life of the church. If you're taking notes, the life of the church. Several books of the New Testament use the illustration of a human body to describe the church. The Apostle Paul, to the Corinthians, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Do you realize that all of us are parts of the body. There's an old saying that goes that 80% of the work in the church is done by 20% of the people. How many have ever heard that before? See many hands, many people nodding their heads. What would have happened this morning if you woke up and only 20% of your body worked? What kind of condition would you be in? You might not be in here. You might be in Wyoming Medical. Or you might be, you know, at Buster's or something. You know, if only 20% of your body said, I'm going to do something today, I mean, you and I might, you might have been, if you were in here, you might have been crawling in instead of walking in. We are a body. It goes on to say in verse 18, now God has set the members, each one of them in the body just as he pleased. Verse 27, now you are the body and members individually. Some of you are elbows. Some of you are knees. Some of you are kidneys. Some of you are lungs. Some of you are blood vessels. Some of you are the nervous system. Some of you are eyes. Some of you are hands. All of us have a responsibility. Just as every part of your body has a responsibility, except the appendix, all of us, friends, there are no appendixes in the body of Christ. Okay? Look at your neighbor and say, you're not an appendix. You're way too good looking for that. Each of us is a part, and God has placed you with giftings and talents and skills and abilities and experiences. And God wants to use all of those things to meet the needs of His body. There are several areas. I'm going to give you a laundry list, and I'm praying that as I share these, the Holy Spirit just pricks your heart when I say something, and God says, you can do that. This is for you. We need parking lot attendants to greet people when they come in. Do you realize they say in the first 7 minutes, someone decides if they're going to come back to church or not? Before their kids have been in our kids' ministries, before they've been in our worship service, before they hear me preach, they've already decided if they're coming back. And so many times when newcomers come, they don't feel warm and welcome. They're kind of apprehensive. But to meet a smiling face out in the parking lot, hi, I'm Craig. It's glad to have you here today. That can make all the difference in the world and break down some of those barriers of inhibition that newcomers have, that the unchurched have. Being a greeter at the front door and welcoming them. Working at the information center, giving people information, that showing them where to go. Being one of the adults that help oversee the Hebrews Coffee Bar. How many of you ever got a cup of coffee or a donut at the Hebrews Coffee Bar? Do you know what you're doing when you're doing that? You are buying a vehicle for a missionary. Because all the money that our kids make through that buys vehicles for our missionaries overseas. So it's a good cause. Buy coffee and donuts. If you don't like that, we have tea and smoothies and a bunch of other things. I'm not a coffee drinker. But yeah, we need adults to help out with that. We need adults to be part of Kid Check. When families come in, we check their kids in so that their parents know they are in a safe and secure environment. I know our children's workers tell me all the time how many new moms that come in and say, man, I feel so good about leaving my kids here. Even though I don't know anyone here, just that you would have a safe and secure place and I know I'm the only one that can pick my kid up makes me feel good. We need people to work with the babies in the nursery. How many like babies? How many like babies at 2 o'clock in the morning? Well, ladies, you can get your baby fixed by working in the nursery, okay? And we need help. Our preschool kids' church and Jungle Journey, which is pre-K and K. I was just talking to Heather this past week. They had 16 pre-K and kindergartners in Jungle Journey. She says, I'm going to need to recruit some more workers. And then our elementary kids, we want to start small groups with them. But we need about 4, 5, 6 adults every Sunday. Could you give one Sunday a month? One Sunday a month is all it takes. I mean, we need people to be ushers, people to run sound, people to run media. We need worship singers and musicians. We need people on Tuesdays in the food pantry. We need people who are up praying for our service on Sunday morning. We need nursery workers and JBQ workers and missionettes on Wednesday night. We need youth sponsors on Wednesdays. We need property team. people to change light bulbs around the church, people to help in the flower beds as the weeds start coming in, and they come in all summer long, huh? What can you do? I don't have much time. You know what? Can you give a half hour out in the flower bed? Can you give an hour and a half one Sunday morning a month upstairs? Can you give a Sunday once a month as an usher to help with security and count the offering and stuff? What can you give to meet the needs of the body? My prayer is that we have 80% of the church doing it. Really, I want 100%, but I know there are some of you, you're just sticks in the mud. You're saying, Craig, no way. No way am I going to do that. And you know what? That's okay. God will deal with you. I want 80, 90%, because here's the thing. When you begin to serve, three things happen. You find fulfillment, you find fruitfulness, and the church becomes forceful. Because if the whole body is operating, if you tried to run a race today and only 20% of your body would work, how forceful of a race would you run? Not very. It would be a pretty, I mean, I could even beat you in that race. But here's the thing, if the whole body gets behind it, we are a force to be reckoned with. Meet the needs and the lives around you as you go out in the community, as you go to work, as you go to school, and meet the needs in the church that are present. Let's take a look at the second way to change the world. The second way to change the world, one person at a time, is to invite other people. Invite other people to church. That's the second way to change the world, one person at a time. We're going to look at John chapter 1, verse 40. And again, this is Andrew and Philip. They're involved in this story. It says, one of the two who heard John speak, because John, this is John the Baptist, Jesus' first cousin. And John is saying, hey, you guys need to meet the one that I'm not worthy to tie his sandals. This guy is the guy. This is the king. This is the Messiah. This is the one we're waiting for. And so Andrew has heard John speak, and Andrew has met Jesus, and he thinks the world of him. And so Andrew, who is Simon Peter's brother, he first found his own brother Simon. He says, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Christ, the one that's been talked about in Scriptures. And Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he says, man, you are a poor specimen of humanity. No, he didn't say that, did he? This is Peter who, last week we learned, cut off Malchus's ear. This is Peter who Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. He rebuked him. How many of you know that that's not a compliment? I mean, what if I said to one of our board members, Satan, get out of here? No, we don't have board members like that. We have great board members. But this is Peter who made a lot of mistakes. And Jesus says to him, you are Simon, son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You see, Nazareth was kind of seen as the wrong side of the tracks, the bad side of town. And Philip said, come and see. Come and try it. Just meet him. Andrew and Philip invited others to come meet Jesus. And what happened to him? Nathanael turns into one of the 12, one of the followers. Peter not only turns into one of the 12, but he becomes the right-hand man. He becomes the top dog after Jesus dies and raises from the dead and goes to the heaven. Peter is the leader of the church. What would have happened if Andrew never invited Peter? You ever think about that? You see, because Andrew invited, and here's Peter. Peter gets up on the day of Pentecost, And just 50 days earlier, he's denying Christ. He denies him three times. Now he's preaching boldly in the temple. He doesn't care they killed Jesus. He doesn't care if they kill him. He has the power of God, and so he's going to speak. And 3,000 people come to know Christ. And you know what? Andrew gets part of the credit for that. Because if there was no Andrew, there was no Peter, there was no day of Pentecost. And so, do you realize that you may be working, as you go to work tomorrow, some of you may be working next to the next Peter, the next leader of the church that God wants to anoint in a powerful way? Some of you students, you're going to school. Do you realize that you might be sitting next to the next Billy Graham? And they just need you to invite them to church or invite them to youth group. Some of you, as you teach in the nursery or in the kids' church areas on Sunday or Wednesday night, do you realize that some of you might have the next Joyce Meyer in your class? Or maybe the next Chuck Swindoll? And some of you, as you're working with the youth, do you realize you might have the next Chris Tomlin or Darlene Check? You don't know how God is going to use the people around you. So invite everybody. Everyone is important to God. That's what Philip and Andrew did. They invited others. And as they invited them one at a time, it changed the world. Friends, you and I, we have so much potential as the church. As we meet needs, as we invite others to come, God will save them. He'll transform them. They will experience the greatness of God like Mary did. They'll experience the cleansing and forgiveness of God like Simon. They'll experience the resurrection, the new life, the full life like Salome did. They'll realize God cares. He's approachable. I can come to him like Malchus did. And you know what? As they grow, they're going to receive a calling. And they're going to go out. And they're going to meet needs. And they're going to bring others in. And those are going to go out and meet needs and bring others. And it is a ripple effect that will go on, just as it's happened for the past 2,000 years. I bet if you would have told the disciples, 2,000 years from now, when people are driving cars and talking across the world on a little box, they couldn't comprehend that. Friends, I believe Jesus could come today, but if he tarries another 2,000 years, our generation is responsible for making it happen. Don't let it stop with you. I'm going to close with a story. There was a pastor that once made an investment in a large piece of ranch real estate, which he hoped to enjoy during his retirement years. And when he was still active in pastoring, he would go one day a week out to his ranch just to get it into shape. But it was a mess. It was full of weeds. Windows were broken. The buildings were run down. And so every week he'd go out, he'd fire up his little tractor, he'd plow down the weeds. And when he was done, he would, you know, fix plumbing and fix windows. And he'd cut lumber and saw lumber. He would nail it up. And he just got everything in repair. And for months he worked on this ranch that had been in disarray. And finally he was finished. And one of his neighbors came by, Farmer Brown, and Farmer Brown said, "You know what, preacher? You and God have done a great job on this place. It's looking really well." And the pastor said, "Well, it's interesting you should say that, Farmer Brown, but you should have seen this place when God had it all by himself." Now, can God put a ranch back together with no one? Yeah, he can. But that's not how he's chosen to work. You see, God could save people. God could heal people. God could deliver people out of drugs and alcohol. God could encourage people when they're down. God can do all those things without us, but that's not the way he's chosen to work. He is the head. And he said, "My church, my called out ones, called out of the world, you are my body. And so now you will see the needs. You will hear the needs. You'll be my hands that touch those needs. You'll be my feet that walk into those painful situations and are there to give people healing and hope. We're the body of Christ. And God's calling us to action. Because He not only loves you and I so much that He gave His one and only Son, He loves the world. And the world won't hear it unless you and I do something about it.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.